I appreciate that. It's such a blessing. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Welcome the rain. Amen. It's good we have some rain today. And I'm so glad that God has given us some rain. We're in desperate need of that. And we thank you for being here. I'll ask you guys a question. How many have ever seen the show? It's called Doomsday Preppers. Anyone ever seen that show? It's a little weird show, but it's about people who are preparing for a catastrophic event that occurs. And so what they talk about is, in the show is how these are survivalists or preppers preparing for the end of the civilization as we know it. But the takeaway from that is the fact that preparation is important because we really don't know what the future is going to bring. We really don't know. Last week, when Hurricane Matthew picked up to a Category 4 and made their way in a direct hit into Haiti and the Bahamas, America, we were afraid. I mean, hundreds of people were killed, we later learned, in Haiti and then in the Bahamas. As it made its way up the eastern coast, along hitting Florida, and then went up to Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. And it was an amazing impact that this thing had. But one of the things that was important was that they declared a state of emergency before it ever even came. So evacuations were in order. There was mandatory evacuations. People were making preparations. And the governor was behind it, and hundreds and I think millions of people actually left their homes on the East Coast and made their way to safety, all because they made good preparations. I was thinking about how important preparations are. In life, when we think about it, all of us deal with preparations for either the things that we expect or the unexpected. There's no doubt that we're going to have things that are going to come in our life, and wise is the person who makes preparation for both the expected and the unexpected. Let's take for a minute here. How about weddings? You ever thought about all the preparation that is involved in a wedding? I mean, it starts with getting the venue, and then from the venue, then you have to think about the ceremony itself and the flowers and the color and the dresses and what the groomsmen are going to wear. And then you think about the flowers, who are going to, who's going to bring in the flowers, how that's going to set up. And then, oh, by the way, did I mention the money? There's some preparations money-wise. Have to make sure that that's all good. And so you think about all of that, and then many, many couples will say, and of the weddings I've done, and I don't do a whole lot, but the ones I've done, they would say something like, man, I can't believe all this preparation for this 20 or 30 minute ceremony. Then within a year or two or 3 years, I don't know, then the baby comes. Now there's preparation for the baby. So you have to have the baby room ready. And so that's involved in getting a baby bed and a crib or whatever it is. And then you have to get a changing table. Then you have to have the curtains have to match the bed. And there has to be bed sheets that look, or bed covering that looks just like the curtains. And it's got to be real cute. And there's got to be a baby lamp that comes along with that and all that. And then the baby comes. And now with the baby that's come, you want to make sure that they're insured and everything's taken care of and their health is looked after. And so there's preparation involved in that. And then while all that's occurring and they're making sure the baby's cared for and going to the doctor appointments and everything, because you actually want the baby to be healthy, then dad starts thinking about college. One day college is coming. One day he'll be 18 years old and off to college, he or she will go. And so then you start thinking about, oh, I got to put money back and make preparation for a college fund. So you get a college fund going. And then everything is kind of on that movement. It's all moving toward that preparation for the time in which that child will grow up and go out on its own, go to college, and go out and do what God's called them to do. You think about it from that viewpoint as a Christian. Then you start thinking about, wait a minute, what about my retirement? Boomers, they're, say, baby boomers, are realistically not even looking at the way the economy, the way the job market is. Realistically, they may not even be looking at retirement. I mean, the market's been so up and down and affected our retirements and other things. But wise is the person that still makes plans for retirement. It's wise to put money back because we never know. There could be a medical emergency that happens or a tragedy which would cause us to be forced into a medical retirement. There could be maybe a job that we have for many years and then the company closes. And so when that occurs, then there's no job. And you have to make some kind of plans for that. Or maybe it's a family member and they have an emergency that comes along in their life and you have to kind of step aside and try to tend to maybe your spouse or maybe a parent and help them with that. I mean, preparations, it's just like it's ongoing all the time. And then you think about when you do go to work. You know, like if you get up in the mornings and you go to work or go to school, then you just think about, okay, what time do I got to get up tomorrow? And what clothes am I going to wear tomorrow? I mean, you're making preparations all the time. You think about what am I going to take for lunch? And then what about when I come home? What am I going to eat for dinner? What kind of dinner? And then you get to work. And then you look at the calendar. Okay, I got to make sure I know what appointments I have and what projects I got to get done and who's screaming the loudest and what's the need that's there and all of those things. It just seems like life is built around preparations. It's just the way we are. We live that way. But I do want to ask you this. What happens when you are not prepared? Have you ever been there? Anyone ever had something like an event that happened in your life and you just were totally unprepared? Anyone ever have something like that? I remember one time I had a friend of mine, he was preaching up at a church a couple hours away, I think up in the foothills. And so he asked me, you know, we're pretty good friends. I haven't seen him in a while. He said, hey, why don't you come up and be here and I want to preach and we'll go out and have dinner and just kind of visit and fellowship. And I said, okay. And so I drove up there And I knew the host pastor, and we got there. We're just visiting and just talking. And when he got done preaching, right in the middle of service, the preacher got up and said, you know, I just feel led to have Rick Stone Street come up and preach the second message. Now, strangely enough, I didn't feel led at all. But he said, I want you to come up and preach. I'm like, no preparation. Nothing. I mean, I wasn't forewarned. It wasn't like you come up to say, you're going to be preaching. It was just on the spot I got up there. And he was having like a little conference type thing. And so I was thinking, man, I really messed this one up because I was ill-prepared. I mean, I was not prepared. Totally unexpected that I was to get up there and preach. You know, when you think about it, all of the preparations that you deal with in life, you know, you go to work, you had to get prepared to come to church, you're preparing for tomorrow when you go back to work, and all the preparations, and all of those are very important in life, but what about spiritual preparation? What kind of spiritual preparation do you have in your life? I mean, what kind of investment are you making in your walk with God? Because I think sometimes we spend so much time struggling with this life and those things that we feel are so necessary that we neglect our spiritual life. We neglect that investment that God would have us to look at. And that's what Jesus was telling us. Let me set up the story. Jesus was giving us what we call a parable. Parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The parable is about 10 virgins. And in Jewish, in how that in the Jewish wedding ceremony is different than what we think of in the Western, in our Western culture here. But in the Jewish wedding, what they would have is that there would be a time of 1 year engagement. The couple would be engaged for a year called the betrothal period in 1 year. And then at the end of that year, it was the bridegroom's responsibility to organize the wedding party, to bring the wedding party to come and take the bride off and marry her and have the ceremony. They did not know what time that would be. They weren't sure about that. All they were told was that they were to be ready for that time. And Jesus now, with that understanding, he's writing and he's explaining to people using that earthly story to give a heavenly meaning. Here's what he says. Jesus says this, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven," referring to what God says and what the spiritual kingdom, not this physical world. Here's what he says. He says this, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Now here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if you're not careful, you can be caught unprepared spiritually for what life brings to you. That spiritually, your preparation is just as important as all the other preparations in your life. In fact, if you aren't spiritually prepared, you're foolish, is what Jesus says. And the word foolish has the idea not so much that it's not given in the sense of a deriding term. It's given in the sense that we are making a foolish choice to not be prepared when spiritual things come in our life. And we have not invested. We have not trimmed our oil or have our oil with us, if you would. Here's the fact, though. Life has its ups and downs. There are going to be struggles that are going to come with life. And the question Jesus is asking, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, I don't think we have to be weird like the spiritual preppers and, you know, wear gas masks around and, you know, and do those kind of things. That's kind of weird. I don't think we need to do that. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's just wanting us to understand that preparation is important if we're going to be prepared for the things that life brings, not only in this life, but the next life. We'll look at that in just a moment. Teenager, let me ask you a question. What about your life? What about the things that come into your life? How prepared are you? You see, reading God's word is not just a mental exercise, but it is a spiritual investment in your life. Because when you look at it, you're going to be making some big decisions in life for the future. Who you marry, what career that God has for you, where you're going to live, what college you're going to go to. All of those things are going to come. You're going to have, and even if you say, "I'm not going to college," that's a decision you have to make. And even if you say, "I'm not marrying this person, I'll marry this person," that's a decision you have to make. But spiritual investment in your life is very important. And I can't think of a better place to spend investing spiritually in your life than individually sitting down and reading God's word every day. Letting God's word become a part of your life. Letting God's word become ingrained into your whole DNA, if you would. Now, what about you adults? What about the things that come in your life? How are you doing in making investment choices? With the time that you have, the word of God that God has given to you, how are you doing with that word? You see, just as life requires good planning, so does your spiritual life. I like what Benjamin Franklin said. He said this. He says, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." In other words, you might say it this way: if no preparation means guaranteed failure. And you know, when you think about it, salvation is the greatest gift that God has ever given to man. I mean, when I realize that there's nothing good in me and I can't make myself good enough to get to heaven, I can't work my way to heaven, there's not any good things. That's why God sent his son Jesus Christ to come, to die on the cross for my sins, that he was buried and he rose again, and that he provided for me and you a home in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to tell you, that's a gift. And that's a gift that every one of us should value. And if you don't value that gift somewhere along the way, I want to encourage you and inspire you to value that gift like God does. He sent his son. But with that gift, there's the nurturing that comes with the gift. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what the Bible's saying about this preparing. In other words, the idea is that as I nurture my relationship with God, this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. He said this. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, this does not mean that you work your way to heaven. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that you nurture your relationship with God, that you nurture this time. And that means not just coming to church, though I think that's important. We'll look at that in a minute. But I'm also talking about the fact that we nurture our relationship every day with God, individually with God. No place can it be more evident do we find in the scriptures than we find in the book of Ezra. Can I get you to turn to Ezra? Ezra, 7th chapter, the book of Ezra. Go with me, please, and I want to call your attention to one verse, because honestly, the book of Ezra is about preparation. Let's set up so we can understand how these two books work. There are two companions. You have the book of Ezra and you have the book of Nehemiah. Both are written by each of these men. And these books reflect a very important time period in history of Israel. Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians. They had been captive, deported, and taken back to Babylon. And while they were there, children were being born. Ezra was one of the children that was born during the captivity. And now they've been released to go back. And all during that time, Ezra, though he was in a pagan foreign country, God had been preparing Ezra. Ezra made a commitment to study God's word. Ezra made a commitment to let God's word become a part of his life. Ezra had been prepared by God that he would go back to Israel after the captivity. When he would return, he had one mission. His mission was to build the temple of God. Now, when you read Ezra, you understand that the first and number one responsibility that Ezra had was to build the temple. Then you read in Nehemiah that the number one responsibility that Nehemiah had was to build the walls. Now, some of us might think something like this. Well, you know, if you build the temple and the walls aren't built, maybe the enemies will come and destroy the temple again. You see, in the ancient world, that if one country would go in and conquer a land, they would not only conquer the land, take over the land, but they destroyed every sign of any god that nation whom they conquered served. And so they destroyed the temple. Nehemiah said he was going to go, you know, God had called him to go back there. And the reason why that God called Nehemiah to build the temple first is because your spiritual life is more important than your physical life. In other words, the eternal is more important than the temporal. That for your life and my life, that's what's important. And so God, as he sent Ezra back to build the temple, he, in a sense, was going back and saying, "This is my heart. I prepared my heart for this moment. I went back to my heart that I might build this temple so that the heart of the nation can come back." Now, today, we connect with God through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, they connected with God through the temple. And so this represented a relationship with God. This represents something that was necessary. In other words, for the people of Israel, They needed to have God back into their life. They needed that temple. And so the whole book of Ezra is about preparation, and tucked in the middle of the book is this one verse. Look at it with me, please. Here's what it says. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Did you notice that this verse had three qualities? So we'll look at those in a minute. But it's interesting how that all the work that God did, all the work that God was doing in Ezra's life was preparing him for this event so that he could prepare the nation of Israel to have that relationship with God once again. To have that kind of relationship with God, that God is not just a God that's of some distant country somewhere, but God is the God that's with them every day. You see, this small practice of spending time with God and developing a relationship with God brings huge dividends down the road when you come into things in life, struggles in life, problems in life, trying to find answers. That is where the spiritual preparation comes in. That's what the Bible's about. That's what the whole book is about. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the times that we needed to step aside, we need to step back, and God reminded me of this verse in Psalm 46 in verse number 10. Here's where it says, "Be still and know that I am" what? God. Be still and know that I'm God. You see, what God wants us to realize that is in the quiet moments with God, our spiritual character and fortitude is shaped. It is there when God can speak to us in those private moments when we are beat up by the world and the flesh and the devil, and we are weakened to where we can't go on anymore, that we have God there, that God is going to help us through those difficulties and those struggles. But that comes as we've taken time in our relationship with God. Let me ask you this: how prepared are you spiritually? How prepared are you? Many people say, "Well, I've got my retirement set up. I'm pretty well prepared for that," and that's great. I'm glad. Well, I'm kind of prepared for, you know, the next event, you know, that's coming up. We've got a baby coming, or we've got a house we're trying to get, or we got this job we're working on, or we got this next thing happening, and all of that's important. Don't get me wrong. But it never is more important than my relationship with God, because what my relationship with God is going to affect all those other relationships, all those other decisions. And the Bible makes it very clear that the idea of preparing is important. God puts a big stamp of approval on that. In fact, we find there are two other men that the Bible speaks of who made preparations. For example, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 19, the Bible says it this way. It says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. Thou hast prepared thine heart to seek God." God said that about Jehoshaphat. He said, "Hey, you know what? There's some good things found in you. And one thing is, you've sought me with your heart." Hezekiah is another example. The Lord said this, that he prepareth his heart to seek God. You see, not only is that seeking God, not only that preparation to have my heart, that I would set aside a time. And I don't know about you, but I like my time with God. It's so important. I just like that time. But I have to make preparations for it. What I'm saying is that the Christian life doesn't happen accidentally. It happens on purpose. In other words, for you, it's not like you're just going to, I'm just hoping that one day I'll get better and get right with God, or one day that my relationship with God will get better, or one day it just might get better. No, on purpose, we make choices. On purpose, we choose to do what God wants us to do. And on purpose, we ask God that, "God, we're going to set aside this time." There are times when we have to do that. We have to be still and know that God is God. We have to sit back and say, "Okay, God, there are things you want us to do. Lord, there are times you just want to speak to us." And so we set aside those times. Now, there are three qualities I want to give them to you. Number one, if you're going to notice, look back in that verse with me again, would you? Look at chapter 7, verse 10 of Ezra. Look at it. The Bible says, "For Ezra hath prepared his heart to seek the Lord." The very first thing he did, if he's going to make good preparations, is to seek God. Before we do anything else, we seek God. And by the way, for Ezra, it was not a burdensome task. You know, sometimes you hear this and we try to inspire people as pastors and preachers to make sure that our relationship with God is strong and vibrant and right. And people say, man, that's so burdensome. It shouldn't be that way. Yeah, maybe it's in fact, the psalmist says it like this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." The idea for Ezra was he didn't just mindlessly open the Bible and let words flow through his eyes and out his ears, but he meditated on it, that he thought upon it, that he made it a priority, that he would push back everything else and turn off the social media and turn off the radio and not have the television set on and go in a private corner someplace alone away from everybody and just have God time. When's the last time you had God time? When's the last time that you just kind of push back and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you got to prepare. It's not going to come accidentally. It may mean you set your alarm clock 30 minutes earlier. It may mean that you do it at night. I mean, at this point, you know, my challenge to us is find a time in the day to do it. I mean, we have a seven-day week, 24-hour-day working schedules. Sometimes early mornings are not conducive for that. Whatever it is, but set aside a time and just push back and say, God, whatever works for you, spend time with God. God time is so important. The Bible said he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Look at this next thing he did. The Bible said, and do it. He prepared his heart to obey. Boy, preparing to obey is very important. You see, the Word of God is not just a book of do's and don'ts. It's the joy comes from obeying God's word. James says it like this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." It's not an intellectual book. It's not about just filling our mind with facts. You know, we may forget that Ezra was the man that led the delegation that went back to build the temple, that went 900 miles from Babylon and spent 4 months in travel to get back there to rebuild the temple. We may forget that he went back in late August or early September to rebuild the temple. We may forget that, but I'm going to tell you, when we learn that preparation is important for us as believers, that'll change our life. And as we read God's word and we let God's word become a part of us, it's engrafted, Paul talks about that we engraft God's word into our life, then it will help us in making decisions. How do we deal with depression? How do we deal with struggles? How do we deal with a difficult boss? How do we deal with these things that come in our life? How do we vote for the election? How do we handle all these matters? How about when we find out that something happens in our family? How do we deal with that? What about a death? What about if a child goes to jail? How do we deal with all those things? How do we handle the difficulties and struggles that come in life? How about the family member that needs Christ? How do we deal with that? All of those are ways in which when we get along with God and we let God's word come in part of our life, then God begins to work and develop that and nurture that relationship in us so that we can go out and do what God wants us to do. That's what Nehemiah did. See, Nehemiah wasn't sitting back, and then once they released him, he didn't just go back and say, okay, well, you know, I got it. But he decided he would go back and respond to God. Responding to God was so important. And then thirdly, there's a third quality I want you to notice. He prepared his heart to share. He wanted to share. His burning passion, his heart, was that he would share about who God is with others and share the mission that God has for him. And he inspired others, and they went back and they built that together. And you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to not share because we're afraid that we might offend or we might hurt somebody. But, you know, we get excited about sharing a hobby. But let's not forget, share Jesus with others. What a difference he makes in our life. Christian, let me ask you this. How prepared are you? This relationship is so important that, you know, I think about the preparations of our Christian life. And we talked about individual preparation. But how about church? There's preparations in coming to church. We have to get our clothes ready. We have to decide what time we're coming, what services we're going to go to. You know, if you're not a member of a connection group, you should jump into a connection group today, right now. Don't miss it. Man, it's so, so good. I mean, like Wednesday night, we had a great, healthy discussion on Wednesday night. We came and we talked and shared, and we shared life together. We talked about scriptural things and things that were tender in our heart, and it was just a great time of learning and growing together. And by the way, that's exactly what we talk about. You have to make preparations. That may mean that you have to, you know, do something about dinner that evening or whatever. Make preparations. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Those connection groups are 11 weeks. There'll be a break, but it's opportunity to grow together. That's our mission, growing together. And God's very clear that we all need to prepare our hearts. How prepared was your heart this morning when you came, Christian? You know, God sent Amos, that great prophet, to preach the word of God. And here's what Amos said. He said, prepare to meet thy God. You know, one day it's all over. And one day the greatest preparation that any of us can make is standing before God, being prepared. See, if you're here today and you're not prepared, you can be. That's why God sent his son Jesus. He made it possible for you that you can be prepared when you stand before God. And if Jesus were there with him and said, why should I let you into my heaven? You could say, because I know Jesus as my Savior. He made it possible. If you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, I want you to know that you can know that. That God has made it possible for you to be forgiven through his son Jesus. He died on the cross. He was buried, he rose again, and by trusting in him as your personal Savior, you can be forgiven. Isn't that a blessing? Amen and amen. And because of that, we can say that we know that we're prepared to meet God for our salvation. Perhaps today, maybe you've been thinking about that, but you're not quite ready. Fill out that connection card in your service program, and we'll be more than happy talking about that. Christian, how prepared is your heart spiritually? I mean, every day. How are you doing? Maybe today God will be speaking to you about, you know, it's time to make a decision that I'm going to prepare my heart every day. Maybe that 15 minutes that at lunch that you have when you're finished. It may be that time in the morning, maybe that afternoon, maybe that evening when you get home, maybe before you go to bed, whatever time that is, prepare your heart to seek God every day. Prepare your heart to obey God. That's the reception. And then prepare your heart to share it. You see, as we get excited about who God is, how much we want to share that with others, it'll be an amazing thing. It won't be difficult at all. May God help us today to prepare and be that spiritual prepper, if you would. That we can be a spiritual prepper for Jesus Christ. Let's pray.